Okay.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
It said the host had not enabled my speech. Anyway, I'm here. Your Excellencies. Thank you. Your Excellencies, Madam Chair, distinguished participants, guests, colleagues, and friends, thank you for the invitation to address you today. Preparing this regional action plan has been one of the most important, challenging, and significant pieces of work I have been entrusted to undertake. The action plan is founded on transforming our world, the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, and the 17 SDGs and targets that gave birth to, as well as the new urban agenda, which followed on from Habitat 3 in 2016. Rightly, the plan puts SDG 11, Sustainable Cities and Communities, front and center, whilst recognizing from Agenda 2030 the integrated and indivisible nature of the SDGs, providing a common language for a coherent approach to multilateral action across a broad and universal policy agenda. I would like to pay tribute to the outstanding and challenging work undertaken by the Secretary General and UN Habitat in moving quickly in 2020 to produce the policy briefs and more recently, the excellent Cities and Pandemics towards a more just, green and healthy future. These have provided the evidence and established the imperatives upon which to build the plan. It must have been harrowing, but necessary to write the words, COVID-19 is unlike any other health crisis in 75 years of the United Nations. And as a consequence, has reversed hard-won gains against SDG targets with severe impacts on existing infrastructure and services. As a scholar and a practitioner, I am grateful for direct and unadorned words. The pre-pandemic status quo should be avoided, and the pandemic does not change the new urban agenda. It merely makes it even more urgent. The action plan cites the unwelcome but clear evidence assembled by OECD and others that the COVID-19 pandemic has severely disrupted construction and seriously hurt the housing sector. As the COVID-19 pandemic wore on and its impacts became better understood, it was clear that human societies, whether in developing, converging, or developed economies, faced not one, but three conjoined emergencies: the pandemic itself, climate change, and yawning inequalities in affordable housing, with each emergency potentially compounding the effects of the others in respect of human health, social cohesion, environmental integrity, and economic vitality. The other important body of work that the plan is built upon is, of course, the Geneva UN Charter on Sustainable Housing, now supported by the Housing 2030 research published yesterday. All of this work acted as progenitors of the principles upon which to build the plan, enabling three new principles: cities are better and central to building back better, cities cannot flourish without well-functioning housing systems, and housing, mobility, environment, and economy are interrelated and require integrated responses. These three new principles have been added to the four principles from the Geneva Charter: environmental protection, economic effectiveness, social inclusion and participation, and cultural adequacy. Using all of this word to tell the story of the plan has provoked an insight into what Sir Isaac Newton may have meant when he talked about standing on the shoulders of giants, provoking in me a giddying sense of responsibility to produce a concise and compelling message through the action plan. In this way, and through extensive consultation, the team was able to formulate the two policy areas laid before you today. Firstly, cities, neighborhoods, homes, and rural life, and secondly, sustainable housing and homes. In the plan, these policy areas are supported by a series of goals, targets, and actions. Policy Area A focuses on coordinated international, national, subnational, and local action related to the vertical integration of the SDGs. Secondly, citywide integrated action. And thirdly, sustainable neighborhoods and local life. Policy Area B is predicated on the implementation of the Geneva Charter and the excellent Housing 2030 evidence-based research launched yesterday using the headings of governance, land policy, finance and funding, and climate neutral housing. And may I here please pay tribute to the colleagues and authors of that work and to Ms. Julie Lawson for her enthusiastic and generous collaboration. The team is honored that the significance of the action plan has caught the attention of the eminent architect and urbanist, Lord Foster of Thames Bank and president of the Norman Foster Foundation, who has generously brought the plan to life in a series of beautiful drawings that you have seen in the exhibition yesterday. And I think we will hear from Norman in a few minutes. Yesterday too, Mr. Lettingham from UN Habitat, when speaking on behalf of Her Excellency Ms. Maimuna Moonsharif, indicated that UN Habitat consider the regional action plan you have before you today to be a model of cooperation that they hope will be adopted by the other European commissions. So well done, UNECE and the Committee of Urban Development, Housing and Land Management. Finally, may I stress that the title, Life and Place in the UNECE, is a gentle reminder to us all that our work is, in no small part, intended to better the lives of our people and the places they inhabit. Yesterday and today, there has been much talk of vision. It's very important. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But we must act at the practical level as well. This regional action plan is a bridge between vision and practice. And as Executive Secretary Ms. Algayarova said yesterday, it is but the start. Excellencies, it has been an honor to work with the partnership of UNECE, UN Habitat, and Housing 2030 to help bring about the Regional Action Plan. And I humbly commend it for your attention today so that we may all contribute hope and action towards a better 2030. Thank you very much.